Amen. As we're standing, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to pick up right where we left off about 2 weeks ago. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. And how many read your Bibles today? How many prayed today?
Amen.
Amen. Some of you are saying, oh man, why does Pastor ask us that? Because I'm trying to get you to heaven. Amen. Like when you go to the dentist, they ask you, you brush your teeth? Do you floss? You go to the doctor, right? They ask you all kinds of questions. Well, I'm the pastor. I'm going to ask you if you pray today, if you read your Bible.
Yep.
Amen. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Somebody say weight. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto your neighbor, looking unto your boss, stock market, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Notice this. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You're going to get weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. What that means is, after all, you have not given your lives in the struggle against sin. And I'm going to pick up this evening talking to us about spiritual determination, part two. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. When we read of lay aside in this scripture text, just going to give a brief foundation for those that weren't here, we may have forgotten. That's used 8 times in the New Testament, and that means in its original intention is to put off, cast aside, or lay aside. A weight is anything that is going to cause you to bend or bulge. It's a burden, it's a hindrance, or any handicapping encumbrance. Besetting is an attack on all sides, something that harasses you, surrounds you, it's lingering. It's an obsession against you, and it's constant. That's what sin is. Sin is constant. And so when Pastor says spiritual determination, what that is the act of coming to a decision or a fixing or settling a purpose. It's the settlement of a question or the decision that you've arrived at that is firm on purpose and with intention. That's your intention is to get to heaven, and you're intentional about doing everything you can to stay saved and get to heaven. Does that break it down enough for you? That's not saying you have good intentions. It's your intentions in action that is going to determine whether you get to heaven or not. Because we hear it all the time that the road to hell or the road to heaven is paved with good intentions. So folks say, well, I had good intentions. This is intentions that is spiritually set in place with actions, that they can be measured. That's what that is to be measured. And so the writer of Hebrews is writing to those that we would believe by Scripture. Some commentaries would say they were second generation apostolics, and he's talking to them, writing to them, and reminding them of their strength in God, their faith in the gospel, and the superiority of Jesus Christ. And so the Scripture tells us, wherefore, and seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, what that is in reference to is Hebrews chapter 11. I talked about it last 2 weeks ago. When you read Hebrews chapter 12, you have to read Hebrews chapter 11 to understand the totality of what it means. When it says a so great a cloud of witnesses, what that you would liken to that is us being in a arena or a track field and sitting in the bleachers, for metaphor, as the apostle, or is Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Samson and Esther and Rahab sitting there watching us. They've passed on their baton of faithfulness, and they've passed it on to us. Remember last time we talked about, if you ever ran track or anything and you do it with as a team and you finished your part and you pass the baton on and they keep running. That's what that is giving us an example, that we're compassed about with such a great a cloud of witnesses, is that Abraham is watching us. Abraham has already been faithful. We're Father Abraham, the father of the faithful. And so he is saying he has walked this walk already. And if he's paved the way for us, us, we can too be victorious because of the blood of the Lamb and the power of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And I talked about the scriptures of chapters 10, 11, 12, 13 is a call to exhortation, and an exhortation to faithfulness. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 tells us, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And talked about spiritual determination and how these folks overthrew kingdoms. But I'm going to pick up. We ended off with clutter, and I felt something kind of in the Holy Ghost, kind of like anchor drop there. So I'm going to pick up right where I left off with clutter. But 1 John 2:15 tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passed away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This is a Christian walk of faithful endurance. That's what this is. When somebody says, it's your walk, how's your walk with the Lord? There's a reason why it's called a walk and not a race. It's a walk. And clutter is as clutter does. First point tonight. We have to get rid of the weight that so easily besets us, that it is so around. And some, we talked about spiritual clutter last time. And so clutter is as clutter does. Clutter is a state of condition or a condition of confusion. It's a disorderly heap, or it's to fill or litter with things. It's synonymous with a disarray, a mess, or confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Sin will confuse you. That's why you can get in sin. It just spirals you out of control. And you begin to do things to your own body that normal people wouldn't do. But you're not acting normal when you're overtaken by sin. Well, talk about some inner clutters. Thoughts, stress, worry, fear. It's the meeting of the mind that wastes our time and energy worrying about it all. Notice this, Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, we like to quote Romans 12:1. But if Paul writes in Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Clean up the mind. The battle is in the mind. Do you know that we have over 50,000 to 70 thoughts per day? That's about 35 to 48 thoughts per minute. I know some of you are saying, well, my wife talks that much. No, I'm not talking about the words we use, right? You go back and listen to Sticks and Stones. I covered that 2 years ago. I'm talking about the thoughts per day. And I would speculate that 75% of those thoughts are maybe the same thoughts we've had year over year, day after day, week after week. It's just like a habitual loop of thoughts and patterns. And guess what? We act on those thoughts. And we dwell on those thoughts. We feed on those thoughts. And sometimes you share those thoughts. And sometimes you talk about the same thing over and over and over. You've been talking about the same thing for the last 5 years. Haven't done anything about it, but it sounds real good. You like talking about it. Well, it's clutter. Spiritual clutter. You're talking about the same thing spiritually. You're so proud of how you were when you were a new convert. Been in the church 20 years. Haven't moved an inch spiritually. You're still drinking milk. You should be eating steak every time you come, every time you read the Word of God. Well, notice this. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Are there things that are suppressing your walk with God? Is there clutter that's suppressing your walk with God? Like stress in the home, at work, in life. I got a scripture for you. Philippians 4:6 talks about that. Not going to read it, but just give you something to look at, to read tomorrow, tonight, before you go to bed. How about, is there things in your, that's suppressing your walk with God, like disunity? Like you're a person of disunity. In the church, out of the church, at work, at home. You're just all over the place. And you can't get your thoughts together to pray or come to church or read your Bible or be a good steward because the battle's in the mind. Notice this. James 3:16 tells us, for where envy and strife is, there's confusion. Yeah, that's what the Word of God says. And every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. This, we're talking about being rooted, growing, bearing fruit, and thriving this year, right? So the wisdom that is from above is full of good fruits. Without, I like this part, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's powerful. I could teach like a month, a series on that alone. That's powerful. Do you have some things in your life that are suppressing your walk with God, like addictions? Like, so maybe you're not addicted to alcoholism, but you're addicted to debt, pornography. You're addicted to lying. Yeah. You're addicted to materialism. You're addicted to wanting to get all the glory. Well, I'm not intimidated by the choir. I've been preaching long enough. That don't bother me. I was preaching for response. I'd just go preach more youth rallies. I'd be all right. How about, do you have any clutter or things that's suppressing your walk with God that's affecting your spiritual determination? Like, you like to panic. See, that's clutter. Because you're not letting the Spirit lead you. See, the world likes to panic. The Bible says God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of and love and a sound mind. Is your spiritual determination being hindered because of condemnation? Let me explain something to you. Condemnation is not of God. Condemnation is from man and or the enemy. Well, Pastor, what's the difference between condemnation and conviction? Conviction comes from God. Conviction comes from the Word of God. You need conviction. But Romans 8 tells us there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But here's the deal. To them which are in Christ who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And notice it's big S. It's not little S. That means there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. They don't just do, oh, I march to the beat of my own music. Well, that's the problem. You need to have ears and eyes for one song.
Yeah.
I got a song that the angels cannot sing. Glory, hallelujah, I've been redeemed. We need to have the song of glory to God. He set me free. This world is not my home. We need to have our ears and our eyes fixated on the song of heaven. That's where we're headed, somebody. Well, spiritual determination. Is there clutter in your life like that's affecting your spiritual determination? Like busyness. Like, I'm so busy. Like nobody else in the world is busy. Like you spend more time all day than everyone else in the world. We talk about this stewardship during the month of January, but everybody gets the same amount of time every day, forever, till the Lord changes it. And busyness is not a spiritual gift. So, just because you're busy doesn't mean you're productive. And doesn't mean what you're busy in is quality. And you can be doing the right things, as Uncle Bishop Mullings would say, and doing for the wrong reason. Well, I'm always at the church working for the Lord. Well, that you can lose your salvation, right? Paul says, lest I become a castaway, I die daily. I got to pray. I got to keep myself under subjection.
Yeah.
Don't fool yourself just because you're busy. Ah, the cares of life will keep you busy. The hamster's real busy, right? Pet shop, you're sitting there watching. He's busy, man. He's jamming. He ain't got anywhere. Just back in a circle. The devil wants to clutter up your life with busyness. How about consumption and abundance mentality? Right? God bless me. God bless me. And something awesome happens to you, and then you're so busy with whatever it was that God answered your prayer or somebody hooked you up with, and you don't got time for God. Right? I would rather go to, Lord, I mean this, I would rather get to heaven broke, busted, and disgusted. And then as the scripture says, gain the whole world and lose my soul. All those things I talked about, what benefit are they to you spiritually? See, the thing is, I believe in holiness. I'm all about holiness, separation, man look like a man, lady like a lady, outward holiness, all that stuff. I'm not wavering. We're not backing up. But I've been in the church long enough. Remember, I was a backslider for five semesters. Apostolic Pentecostals struggle the most with the stuff that cannot be seen. Right? Well, I know it's right. Been on both sides. We struggle with the stuff that can't be seen. You're addicted to something, but you look on the outside as holy as they can be. You look awesome on the outside. But on the inside, you're vengeful, you're bitterness, you hate, don't pay your tithes, you cuss, you watch things on your phone, in the bathroom, so nobody can see what you're watching. You got passcodes on stuff, not because you don't want people to know your business, it's because you're doing stuff you're not supposed to be doing. All that stuff will keep you out of hell, just like getting high, just like shooting up heroin, all liars are going to have their place in the lake of fire. Oh, but I look holy. Paul says, you're full of dead man's bones.
Right.
Well, somebody say, it's good preaching, Pastor. It hurts a little bit, but it's all right. Notice this. Is what you're doing drawing you closer to God or drawing you further away? Listen, we've been enlisted in the Lord's army. Second Timothy 2:3 tells us, now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Don't get entangled with the things of this world or the things of this life. It's like a web, man. It'll just catch you. Charlotte's web, you know, it'll get you. It's like a spider builds a spot, and you start meandering and looking around and getting in that way. You get your eyes off. You get off of the racetrack. You start getting into the crowd, trying to head on. Say, oh, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to get off the racetrack. I've been running long enough. I'm going to go get a hot dog and a Coke. You get out there, and somebody there at the snack bar starts talking to you, and before you know it, you're caught up, and the race is going. You've lost the race. You've lost your prize. Well, the power of association, part two, or point two. You become like the people you spend time with. As a kid, you wanted to be a baseball player. You had your glove, your mitt, your cleats. You had your favorite baseball player, Jose Canseco's poster in your room on the wall. I'm not saying that was me. Just saying. Mimic your favorite player, you know, Will Clark. Now I'm aging myself. Mimic your favorite player. Wherever they played, whatever team they played on, whether they are traded or not, Brother Junior, you became a fan of that team. Remember? Brother Mercy, they call you traitor, right? Well, yeah, because your favorite player went to a different team. Remember that, Brother Sam? You know, Oral Hershiser quits and he goes to another team. You know, that you love to hate the Giants, but you get a Giants player on the Dodgers, now everybody's in love with that player. But last season, you were hoping that he would break his arm throwing the baseball. Wherever they played or your team was playing, you paid attention. You made sure the game was loud enough. You saved up to buy a ticket. You wore the hat, the jersey, had their baseball card. You knew the stats on the back of the baseball card. You followed them to the new team. You became a fan of that team. When they quit, got hurt, or retired, it bummed you out. When someone else talked about your player not being as good as you thought they were, you'd argue and defend them and the player and the team. You never met the player, still haven't met the player, but you still know all about them. You wanted to be like them. I'm going to stay here as a pastor for a minute. Some of us know more about the things of the world than we know about the Bible. We'll sing songs. To be like Jesus. You're seeing all happy. I'm preaching to Pentecostals tonight. So if you're a visitor, it's Wednesday night. It's just the way Pastor does it. But man, you haven't even read. I'm just challenged to read one Proverbs a day, and you just like left that in January. And you'll sing, to be. Or Brother Green, we used to sing that song. It's my desire to live, right? However it goes, for Jesus, right? But do we really want to be like Jesus? See, some of the root causes of the issues that we have in our spiritual walk with God, some of the downfalls we have is because of the company that we keep. Yeah. We need to choose friends and associates that are spiritually determined just like us. to get to heaven. Wrong friends and associates will have values, priorities, and activities that may deter you from getting to heaven. Well, here's the deal. You want to be a prayer warrior? Show up for prayer. Be around people that want to pray and know how to pray and are actually praying. You wanted to be a mechanic. You wanted to be a ball player. You wanted to learn how to fish. Into cars. You hang out with folks that are into those things. You like to gossip. I'm sure there's other churches you can go to that have people that like to gossip. You want to be a worshiper? Then sit by someone that's a worshiper. Move your seat. Get here in time for worship service so you can worship. Notice this. You want to be blessed? Then get around people that are blessed. You'll find that blessed people are good stewards. They're not just blessed because, you know, they have a good last name. They've been in the church a long time or they're blessed for a reason because God says, you know what? I can trust them with this because I trusted them with little. I can trust them with much and they're good stewards and therefore I'm going to bless them because who much is given, much is required. And so they're determined, you know, before they wrote a check for $100, they were writing a check for $1 and they were worshiping and happy about the $1. They were giving a gallon of milk away before they were giving away cars. Well, come on, somebody. The power of association. Before you know it, the folks you've been hanging out with, talking with, spending time with, crying with, sharing your dreams with, fellowshipping with, your secrets open to your heart, they will have an influence on you, good or bad. It's not always bad. Sometimes you can learn good things from bad people. The best boss I had in the whole world was the worst boss I ever had. Because she taught me everything not to be. And that whole year I learned I'm never going to treat people that way. I'm not going to talk that way. I'm not going to act that way. I'm not going to send emails that way. She taught me a lot. Come on, somebody. Well, some of you are saying I didn't want to be like a parent like this parent because or that person because that wasn't the way. And it's made you a better person. You learned how to love because you didn't know how to love. So when you experience love, you begin to show love. There are folks, places, environments, movies, books, songs, homes, places of recreation and leisure that are a negative influence. They're not necessarily sins, but they're not spiritually healthy. Think about that. Neither are they safe, legal, or of a good reputation. You shouldn't be associated with those or influenced by those anyways. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearances of evil. So if even appears to be evil, abstain from it. A.W. Tozer, powerful quote, says, if a man wants to be used by God, or if a lady wants to be used by God, he cannot spend all of his time with people. You got to spend time with God. You want to be a Christian? You want to be saved? You want to be holy? You want to get to heaven? Well, you're influenced by those you spend time with. Won't you spend some time with Jesus? He's the answer. His ways are right. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's always on time. Notice what Psalms 18:30 says. As for God, His way is perfect. Enough said. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those who trust in Him. Verse 32, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Doesn't say any name in there but God. Think about that. If your spiritual determination is fading away, you need to evaluate who you're spending time with. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Enough said. I'll go to verse 16. For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Listen to pastor. God loves people. He does. 1 John 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's who God is. But God is just. God is jealous. He hates sin. And He's a consuming fire. In fact, our scripture chapter, Hebrews chapter 12, the last chapter, last verse, verse 29, I want to say, it says, our God is a consuming fire. That's powerful. He's a consuming fire. We cannot have an off again relationship with God and it not affect our spiritual determination. And with that, I'll say, if you have an off again, on again relationship with the Lord, I would rather you be off again and on again than be off again and say, well, I'm not going. They hurt me. They offended me. I'd rather you come to church. We've had it drunk and high and loaded, mad, angry at me, mad at the world. I don't like it when Pastor Preacher, Brother Drozik preaching. I'm not going, Brother Bonan's preaching, but I'm going to go anyways. Hey, I'd rather you come sit on the front row and mad dog me the whole time. Because there's hope. And there's love. And there's peace. And there's power. Come on, somebody. I love you. I want you to get to heaven. I'll help you. You know what I'm saying? Grab the other end of the rope, and as long as you grab on, we'll pull you, we'll drag you, we'll do whatever we can. Spiritual determination. Trying to hurry. The kind of company and associates you're keeping, are they supportive with your walk with God? Do they root you on? Do they encourage your holy lifestyle? Are you better spiritually when you're around them? Are they rooting you and running the Christian walk with you? Do they speak the truth to you in love? Are they holding you spiritually accountable? Do you pray together? Do you feel comfortable sharing your prayer requests with them? Are they faithful? Can they be trusted? Are they blessed? Are they happy for you when you're blessed? And are you happy for them when they're blessed? Well, Proverbs 27 and 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I didn't give Sister Breon the scripture, but the scripture says, he that hath a friend must first show himself friendly. So notice this. Drama doesn't just walk into your life. You either create it, invite it, or you associate with people who love to bring it into your life. That's a weight. That will consume you. That can keep you out of heaven. Because if that all you're consumed with is that, and you're not praying, not coming to church, not being faithful, not reading your Bible, it's going to be tough to make it. Well, there's no relationship. Dead people don't go to work. Dead people are in the grave. Dead people aren't walking around living life. They're in the ground. They're in the cemetery. That kind of way will bury you. Romans 12 and 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by the way you think. The world will tell you you're a quitter, you're a loser, you have issues. Just do it. Do it your way. The Bible says, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. I'm not going to be able to finish the way I wanted to. I need some help. Is Rupi in here? Where's Rupi? Jasmine's in here. Rupi, Jasmine, Michaela, come help Pastor real quick. Let's hurry so we can get through this. So, Rupi, where Pastor sits, there's a cup and there's there's a bottle of water. Grab that. Grab the one with the cup and you hold the cup. So, this is us. This is our walk with God. This is who we are. And you think, open that water bottle there. And there's a lot going on in life, right? Just fill up that cup. All the way. All the way. All the way. All the way. My cup, all the way. My cup runneth over. There's no more? My cup runneth over. All the way. There's more water in there. Oh, there's no more water. Sorry, I thought I saw more water. Oh, don't spill it, Michaela. Don't spill it. Use both hands. Here, let's give it to Ruby. Don't spill it. Don't spill it. Lay aside every sin and weight that so easily besets us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I want you to walk around the church, and you cannot spill any water. Go ahead. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Don't spill the water, Rupi. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now stand right there. Don't stand right there. So there was, appreciate it, Brother Drozik. There was a distraction he had. He didn't care about the distraction. He was looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of clutter, a lot of distractions. Keep walking all the way around the church. Don't spill any water. Right? There's a lot of stuff that's going to try to trip you up. Clutter, stumbling blocks, roadblocks, drama, good times, bad times. See, he's not just the God of the good times. And he's not just the God of the bad times. Come on, somebody. He's not just the God of when it's income tax time. And he's not just the God of when it's Christmas time or Easter Sunday. Right? So did you spill any water? You spilled some water. Right? So if you spill some water, you get messed up. You come to church, you pray, You get just, David said, my cup runneth over, right? Your cup can't run over if you're hanging around with people that are going to take and tank and take your water. They're going to take your water and drink it. But you want to be around people that are going to fill it up. You don't be one of those people either. Come on, somebody. Musicians would come. Don't be one of those people who are always taking, sucking everybody dry. Boss dry, your husband dry, your wife dry, the pastor dry. Hey, be a giver. The scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Come on, somebody. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes on Jesus. Can't go wrong when you keep your eyes on Jesus. You can't go wrong when things are going wrong, you keep your eyes on Jesus. When things are going good, you keep your eyes on Jesus. He will never leave you. He won't forsake you. Come on. David said, I've been young and but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. Anyhow, would you stand tonight? Clutter. Thank you, Rupi. Thank you. Let's give them a hand. Thank you. So I got a challenge for you tonight. When I began to minister on this topic 2 weeks ago and tonight, as apostolic Pentecostals, as visitors, as humanity, as Christians, there was something you begin to think about, or people or things or stuff or clutter in your life. And you haven't done anything about it for 2 weeks. And you know it's a problem. You're convicted about it right now. Let's lay aside that weight tonight. Let's do something about it. Tonight. Tomorrow morning. Start fresh. Hit that reset button. No looking back. Spiritually determined to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Part 3 will be next week. We'll finish it next week. But I feel in the Holy Ghost tonight. Saint of God and visitor alike, ministering to somebody today. There's stuff that is weight. Not necessarily sinful, but you've justified and rationalized it about it enough. You've carried it in from your childhood to adulthood. And it's a weight, and it's hindering your walk with God. So, Pastor, I can't kick her out of the house. I'm going to go quit my job tomorrow. No, I'm stopping the stuff that you can control that's in here, in your mind, and in your heart. Just deal with it tonight. I'd like us to come to the altar. I'd like us to find a place to pray. Let's talk to the Lord. Sister Ellen blesses us with song. Let's be real. Let's be honest. Let's be transparent with the Lord. We're going to get to heaven together. I'm going to help you. I want to help you. It's going to be Wednesday night Bible studies like this. It's going to chip away at some stuff in our lives that are going to help us. You don't got to get it all figured out tonight. This is exactly what I'm going to do. Maybe it's a little fuzzy right now. That's okay. It'll come together. Maybe you're not ready to get baptized. Maybe you're not ready to get on the platform. Maybe you're not ready to get a Bible study. Maybe you're not ready to live for God. Well, you got to start somewhere. Talk to Him.
I worship You.
Have an encounter with Him tonight. Be real with Him. Hallelujah.
You are here, moving in our midst.
I worship
You.
I worship you. It's a weight. It's weighing on you.
You are here.
It's weighing on your heart, your mind, your soul. It's weighing on your company, on your finances, and your marriage, on your job, in your relationship. Things are strained because of it. I want to help you tonight. Holy Ghost is ministering to somebody. Trying to help you.
Promise keeper, light in
the darkness. But you got to drink the water that's in the cup tonight. You got to do it.
That is who you are.
It's yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Waymaker, miracle worker. Promise keeper,
it's a weight.
Light in the darkness.
It's clutter, it's a distraction.
My God, that is who you
personality
are.
Conflict. It's torment.
You are here.
It's addiction.
Touching
it's busyness.
Every heart. I worship you.